Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that hopefully will help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. So sit back with your cup of coffee and perhaps a bagel or a Danish and listen in while we talk about some interesting topics today. And in the second half of the show, we'll be interviewing special guests. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving clients all across the D.C. metro area and across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where you can get content on taxes, business planning, and estate planning topics of interest. There are audio files there, there are video files, and written articles that you can use to do your due diligence and do some reading and learn up on the hottest and latest items of interest that might be of interest to you. And lastly, I invite you to read my column in the Washington Business Journal once a month entitled Blueprint for Wealth, where I'll be featuring topics of interest on tax, estate planning, and business planning. Today, we're going to be talking about raising money in real estate deals, what today's market terms look like. Most real estate investments continue to be financed through a combination of mortgage debt and equity. Over the past few years, however, equity requirements imposed by the mortgage lenders have risen, increasing the amount of capital that real estate entrepreneurs have to raise from their investors. In today's market, a real estate entrepreneur usually should expect the equity component of the deal to comprise between 25 and 40% of the appraised value of the property. In the old days, you used to get away with anywhere between 5 and 10% being put up as equity. Not anymore. And it's likely higher for development deals and other projects considered more risky. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the deal structures that are being used in real estate deals today and some of the terms and conditions that you might expect to see if you're trying to raise money to build your real estate dream. The basic economic structure. Most real estate deals share certain economic attributes. In many cases, the first profits are paid to the investors until the investors get back their original investment. They usually get a preferred return on that original investment as well. In some cases, particularly where the property is going to produce income in the form of rents that yields cash flow, the sponsor or the developer might structure the deal that allows him or her or it to participate in it to promote once the investors have received a preferred return, but before they've gotten back their original investment. So these deals may be structured a little bit differently. After the investors get back their preferred return and maybe even their original investment, the investors and the sponsor share the remaining profits in some way. In many cases, the sponsor may seek an increasing share of profits as the return to the investors increases. The sponsor's share of the profits is typically referred to as a carried interest. You've heard a lot about this on the news in recent weeks and days when people were scrutinizing the money that was being made by Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney on his tax return. Much of his return on investment and much of the income he reported on his tax return was from carried interests, not necessarily in real estate deals, but in other venture deals where he would be able to participate after the investors recovered their original investment as a carried interest. The designated rates of return that have to be achieved for the sponsor to start participating is known as a hurdle rate. In addition, as part of the project, the sponsor commonly provides services like management services, property management, brokerage, and construction management services. The sponsors typically paid market rates or market fees for these services, although the market really is not well defined and could vary significantly from deal to deal. Well, what kind of returns should investors expect in these real estate deals? Investors evaluate competing investment alternatives on the basis of the return that they can get. They also have to look at the varying risks associated with investing their money. So the investors are going to look at the projections that the real estate sponsor is going to generate, and that is going to yield what the investor returns look like. Sponsors most commonly cite the return of their potential project in terms of what we call a cash-on-cash return, or an internal rate of return. Cash-on-cash simply is the expected annual cash that the investor is going to get on his or her investment without any compounding. In today's market, stabilized projects typically project a cash-on-cash return in the area of 7 to 12% per year. An internal rate of return is typically defined in real estate deals to be the rate that makes the present value of the contributions that the investor has made, the initial investment and any subsequent investments, equal the present value of distributions received by the investor. An internal rate of return is really valuable because it takes into account all cash flows as well as the time value of money, including compounding. An equity multiple is a metric that describes the amount of cash in absolute terms an investor is expected to receive over the life of the investment. It doesn't take into consideration time value characteristics. Now, internal rates of return typically fall within a 15 to 20% range. Remember, compared to cash-on-cash returns of 7 to 12%. The equity multiple is calculated by dividing the total projected cash payout over the life of the project in real dollars by the investor's investment. So, as an example, if an investment project projects a multiple of 2.5 times, the investor who invests $100 should expect to be paid $250 over the course of the project, including the investor's return of his or her original or initial investment. Some financial experts suggest that relying on internal rate of return alone can lead to making the wrong investment decisions, especially when you're comparing projects that are expected to have large upfront expenditures or expenditures in later years. In today's marketplace, equity multiples typically fall within the 2 to 2.5 time. A preferred return on investment is the return that an investor is entitled to on his or her original investment before the sponsor or the developer is entitled to participate in the carried interest. Today's market generally requires a preferred return from 8 to 12% on the original investment, and initially and typically does not compound. In those deals that involve compounded returns, the compounding typically does not occur more frequently than once a year. Ultimately, you have to pay attention to the calculation of the preferred return and not just the interest rate itself. For example, compounding can greatly affect the return to investors, such that a lower nominal interest rate with frequent compounding may very well yield a higher return to the investors than a higher nominal interest rate that doesn't compound. So you have to understand the importance of compounding and whether or not your deal has it. The carried interest is the incentive-based return that allows the developer or the sponsor to get a piece of the upside of the project once the investor has generated his or her preferred returns. There continues to be a fairly large spread in these carried interests, but most of them fall within the range of 20% on the low end and as high as 50% on the high end, with the most frequently occurring carried interest rates falling into the 30 to 40% range. There are some types of carried interests that are multi-tiered, which enable a sponsor to enjoy a higher promote percentage or a carried interest as returns to the investors increase over time. Now, there are lots of fees that I mentioned that might be paid out to the sponsor in a deal. They regularly provide services for which they're going to be paid a fee. So, for example, there might be an acquisition fee payable of 1% to 3% of the purchase price of the real estate. That's paid one time. There could be a finance fee of anywhere from a half a percentage point to 1.5% of any indebtedness incurred on the transaction. You might even see a loan guarantee fee where the sponsor agrees to guarantee the loan. They may get a fee in anywhere from 0.5% to up to 2% of the amount of the guarantee. Of course, they're going to get property management fees, which typically ranges from 3 to 5% of actual gross collected rents every year. They may even get a management fee for managing the assets, a leasing fee, which is a market rate that's based on leasing activity, construction management fees, and disposition fees. Sometimes, and now more than ever, the sponsors are required to put up capital. In the old days, they were really non-capital or non-equity investors. Today, most sponsors have to invest between 5 and 10% of the total amount of capital raised. If you've got questions about how to structure your real estate development deal, give us a call at Odin Feldman & Pittleman at 703-218-2100, and we'll put you in touch with one of our excellent real estate lawyers in the real estate department. Also, if you have any questions for any of the attorneys at Odin Feldman & Pittleman, send us an email to radio at ofplaw.com. That's radio at ofplaw.com. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.